Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Flip, flip, flip all these burgers.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
But instead it lets Abreu back in. That's not coming back.
The Kirks just walked off this one. 3-1 final. Way up on the berm. Kirks with his 7th home run of the season. And Brian Abreu has been so good all year. Started to walk back to his dugout. Then he turned around and realized he is walking the wrong direction. He has to go to the outfield to his clubhouse as the A's win it 3-1 on a walk-off by Nick Kurtz here in the bottom half of the ninth.
Yeah, that was that was quick and easy. You knew what it was, and I mean, all of them did. I mean, honest to God, all of that from when Blum started with, that's not coming back, to him wrapping it up, it felt like the ball was still in the air.
Yes.
Like, under an offense. It felt like when he said that, and then when he went out and damn near got you the totals, it felt like the ball was in the air the whole way. Like, that was...
Well, this is not good.
I'm so. How the hell did they get out of this? I am so sorry. I'm watching. We've watched the College World Series. They just tied this game at 6, Tyler, with runners on 2nd and 3rd and nobody out. And I just looked up, and the first baseman is catching a ball, and they've just recorded 3 outs without giving up a run.
A strikeout pop out was his last two. I didn't see the first out of the game.
Wow. Shout out to Louisville. I mean, God. Oh, they didn't just quit. Anyway, sorry about that. But, no, that was the A's win game one. Before we get to the Lance McCullers news, and Tyler, I want you in on this too. By the way, Tyler, I love it. He is standing 10 toes down. He is getting absolutely smoked on this text line. Now, he does have a couple of Tyler believers. A couple, but he is there giving him the business.
Shout out to my fans.
You know it gets bad when the text of that's the problem with Tyler's generation. They have no respect.
Oh, God.
When that text starts rolling through in. By the way, if you missed Tyler Milner,
really lean into that.
Absolutely,
boomer.
Absolutely, I believe plan hijacked the 4:23 segment by saying the Beatles are overrated. And I mean with real disdain.
So true.
The Beatles, they're overrated.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.
And then he walked the line down and maybe another 7 minutes later and hooked it on up to Nirvana and said they were.
Someone texted in about Nirvana and I said maybe I could hear an argument on it.
Yeah, you didn't even have to get yourself into hearing
it. I
do
not have the passion on Nirvana like I do with my take on them overrated Beatles.
But you tried to explain that
one. Them dumb Beatles.
All right, that is why people are just crushing him. But
no.
I would ask this. We just heard that Brian Abreu just got drilled. And Brian Abreu is not bad, right? 31 innings pitched to just ERA slightly over 2. 1-3 record, 41 Ks, 18 walks, now has 3 blown saves. But are you still confident when Abreu enters the game? Do you still feel confidence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm good. I'm all right.
right. Tyler, you still feel confidence when Abreu enters the game?
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, I was listening to the fellas earlier this morning, and I didn't know how to express it because I'm looking at his numbers, and I said it, but they Seth and Sean were saying they don't feel the way his numbers look, and it's weird. I'm not saying I'm having that Ryan Pressly feel yet. Where
Come
when
on, Sean.
There was about the last 2 years Ryan Pressly came in, it was at times for me buckle up, but I don't think I'm there with Abreu yet, but it he does not feel as sharp as he has been. Like, there were times, for me, I was like, man, I don't know. They didn't need to go get Hader. They got the closer.
Yeah.
Right, and so I don't, it used, there was, I don't want to say automatic, but a lot closer feel to that. Now when he comes in, it like, he'll get himself in trouble with his wildness, and he'll walk guys, or he'll get himself behind and stuff like that. So I don't know. It does feel a little bit different.
Yeah, he clearly hasn't been sharp this year. Last night was not one of his better outings, obviously. But I'm all right with the guy struggling a little bit. He still got the stuff. He's still, I think he's still confident as hell out there. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, his numbers, I'm not saying they're saying he's struggling. I mean, ERA at 2, as much as he comes in, that's fine. And it probably jumped from last night's game, but... I don't know. I used to have it's nails. He's just so nasty. You can't do nothing with him. But I don't know. It's kind of different feel right now. But the Astros, they will look to try to win game two in this 4-game set against the A's. We'll let you know whenever we get that lineup up. If it does come out before we're off the air, they do play late, so sometimes those aren't up. But they will take on the A's. Is it old Alexander's pitching tonight, isn't he? Yeah, old Jason Alexander is getting the ball tonight.
Oh, yeah, Seinfeld guy. Yeah.
I would say he's making his debut, but then I looked up, and I don't remember him pitching before, but he's making his debut. His ERA is at 18 already, so we'll see. We'll see about that with Jason Alexander, but he gets the ball today, and he is getting the ball today, Clint, because of the Lance McCullers situation, and here is the latest on Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers Jr. sprained his right foot, and it came after what manager Joe Espada, the captain, described as a freak accident on Saturday in the weight room. The sprain is above McCullers' right big toe. Espada hopes it will only be the required 15 days on the IL, which he is on. So that is the latest. We kind of got a little bit of an understanding because yesterday we were just, what in the world just happened? He just got scratched, and it clearly, it was a, as they say, a freak accident in the weight room.
Well, finding out that it happened on Saturday, and then the announcement wasn't until Monday, that makes me feel a little bit better because at least they had 2 days to kind of feel it out and see what's going
on.
Maybe
they thought
he
could go.
Right. Well, then you go from thinking he could possibly go to, holy cow, he can't go for 15 days. I mean, that unfortunately tells me they looked at it and were like, nah, this is a pretty severe sprain. Something's going on here. So it's unfortunate that it's a 15-day sprain. I am anxious to hear Lance McCullers speak because I got to believe that he's going to give us a little bit more on what kind of freak accident it was. Did he drop a 45-pound weight on his toe? I don't know why a pitcher would be handling a 45-pound weight 2 days before he has to pitch. Did he drop a dumbbell on his toe?
What is freak accident? Is that count as freak accident?
Dropping something on your toe, falling off of a treadmill, stumbling on a Stairmaster.
Oh, God, I almost fell off a treadmill the other day.
Pitchers have to keep their cardio up. I would think a Saturday morning, maybe before a Monday start, would there's probably a cardio day there. Did he fall off the damn treadmill, something along those lines? I would say a pitcher falling on a treadmill is a little bit of a freak accident, yeah.
Yeah, if he fell, like if that bad boy started rolling, if he was getting off,
mm-hmm.
This is what happened to me. If he was getting off and that thing started rolling a little quick on him,
yeah,
and he rolled him right off, that's crazy, man. It is wild what this team has gone through when it comes to the injury. It's just someone said put that guy in a bubble. Nah, man, I do. I like, we found out that Chaz hurt himself doing like some sort of
squats
or deadlifts or something like that. I think it was deadlifts. Like, seriously, this cat is out here. I just I want so badly to know the specifics on how this occurred. I mean, so bad.
Well, it'll come out, man. There's way too much access today, and Lance makes himself accessible way too often. We'll find out.
Tyler, before the show, said, I hope Clint gets himself good and obsessed about this like he does about that injury to Spencer.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's like, what? Like, I mean, I've spent my whole life in a weight room.
If this was a box, like, I mean, I'm not saying I've never box junk gone wrong, and he hit a box jump, and
the hell's he box jumping boxes in the damn 2 days before start,
dude. He's like a parent. Just the mere thought of it.
Well, you got 9 times out of 10, you got to be dicking around in the weight room in order to have that kind of freak accident. So hopefully it was legitimately a freak accident, not him jacking around.
Yeah, we don't even know what it is. Just thought of it. Like, I have gone off on my kids damn near because other kids are doing stuff that don't even think about doing it.
Yeah.
Don't you even think about grabbing them chips. Stay your ass right here.
5 o'clock fire.
Good luck tonight, Jason. All right. Last night, game five, the OKC Thunder. They win this game, and it was crazy, Clint. Halliburton for the Pacers wasn't himself. He injured his calf. He had to leave the game at one point and then came back out, tried to finish, but Clint clearly didn't look like himself. He is believed to have a calf strain, and more news on that is he will have an MRI, and they will look at his availability for Game 6, which is now must-win for the Pacers. But last night, SGA was out there. Halliburton struggled. When I say struggled, guys, he didn't make a shot. He made 4 free throws. He was 0 for 6 from the field. But the story was Williams, Clint. He goes for 40 points in this game, and he becomes, I think, the third player behind Magic Johnson, Russell Westbrook, under the age of 24, to score 40 in an NBA Finals game. He was sensational. SGA had his mere 31-10 assists in this game. But this was an interesting game that, with all of that happening, Clint, no Halliburton doing much. The Pacers found themselves down 95-93 with under 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. With all of that happening, which is really surprising when you look at OKC.
Well, it was, and the commentator said as much, but I mean, it was typical Indiana, right? I mean, you get them into the third quarter, and when your pace and your tempo and you're pushing the ball and you know, just the pace at which you play, when it takes. It usually hits at some point in the third quarter. And that looked like they were going in that direction. But to your point, Halliburton's inability to be Halliburton, and then Jalen Williams on the other side. I said that before the series started. Jalen Williams was my X factor. If that guy, he had to do more than like play his average ball. And if he did,
has certainly done that.
He damn sure has done it for the last 3 games, and they've won 2 of those 3. And last night was a monster game, obviously. So he was the big difference maker last night. But yeah, I think, look, the Pacers' inability to push it and consistently push it at will with Halliburton out there was a real problem. And they still damn near came back and took the lead.
This series, Jalen Williams. 17 in game 1, 19 in game 2, 26-6-3 in game 3, 27-7-3 in game 4, and then 46-4 in game 5. Tyler's inspired me a little bit on, let's just drop off some hot takes here. I don't know if mine is as
love inspiring, folks,
spicy as his, but I'm watching this game. And we've watched the finals, and I'll be honest with you, it actually made me feel bad for Houston fans. I'm watching this, and I wonder if you have this thought. You can tell me if I'm tripping, which I could be. I've now started to question how good either one of these teams are.
Oh, really?
Like not that they're not good, but I'm talking about comparative to what we have watched in the finals and teams over like the last 20 years. Clint, the Pacers can't have their leading scorer not make a basket. TJ McConnell is the one that drug them back into the game and at will against that vaunted defense. He goes for 13 in the third quarter by himself. Nobody could stop him.
Yeah.
Hell, he probably could have scored a few more, Clint. He had a couple go in and out on him. They could stop him off the line. They could do it. Halliburton goes for 0 for 6. He scores 4 points in the game. He is clearly their best player. And you're in a two-point game midway in the fourth quarter? Like, I wondered, like, you know, if the Pacers felt Cinderella. But when we look at what the Thunder have done throughout the season and what they have with the MVP and what has been thought of as the best defense we've seen in a long time, they shouldn't be having this kind of trouble with the Pacers.
Not, and especially with Halliburton struggling the way he is.
Like, I look at it like, I said this to you, Tyler, before the show. Like, this makes me think, like, those Rockets teams, those Chris Paul and Harden Rockets teams, like, they would beat these two teams. Like, all those Warriors teams, you could have played any version of the Warriors and their leading scorer for the other team go 0 for 6, and you're in a fight in the fourth quarter. Hell, even the Cavs teams that lost, the Spurs. So I've sat back and just, like, how good are these teams? They feel like to me, of what we watched the last one, is they feel like teams that made it to the Western Conference Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know. I watch it. Well, you know, maybe I'm tripping. Maybe I'm off. But I look at that. I'm like, boy, how good are these teams?
Yeah.
See, TJ McConnell should not be able to single-handedly run and bring them from an 18-point deficit. And we talking about, should they have played TJ McConnell? Should he have been in the game? Well, he should have. But should TJ McConnell be doing that to the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. But, I mean, that's who they've been all year long, is different guys stepping up. Different. It's why I don't believe in them in this particular series, is because it would take somebody differently stepping up every single game and doing it 4 out of 7 games to the tune of winning a game. And I think when you talk about SGA and Jalen Williams, I think those guys, you know consistently what you're going to get from those guys. And I don't think you get that from Indiana.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I questioned Indiana, and then I thought, well, maybe, man, the Pacers are better than I thought. And I'm like, I'm sitting here. I mean, you said it earlier. I mean, TJ McConnell could not be stopped.
he could not.
Like, he's going to the basket, Clint. It wasn't like he got hot from three. He's going to the basket. He could not be stopped.
He hit him on a couple of them little mid-range jumpers, and they extended out to him and said, okay, well, let me get to the bucket.
Let me do it. Somebody, I'm just like, I'm like, well, hold on, man. Like, and someone texted him, maybe this is what we're going to be looking at right now for teams, but yeah, but they ain't holding up to some of these teams we've watched play over the years. All right, coming up as we continue, after we've now gotten through OTAs, mandatory minicamp, the offensive line coming into the year was the number one question without any thought for this Houston Texan team. Now we've had some time to look at it. You guys have seen videos. You've heard people talk about it. You've heard us talk about it. Do you still feel like the O-line is still the overwhelming question on this team? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Even though I won't attend the College World Series just based off where the location is, that was a fun game, but then a tough one. Those Oregon State kids are beside themselves. The finality of this thing.
Somebody got to lose, Ron. Yeah. Somebody got to lose, man.
See, you never experienced that part of it in football, like in college. Like, you never – well, I mean, I guess, like, you – whenever your last game of the season or the last game of your – which was your career, you knew it walking into it.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean?
Texas, that's, in the Cotton Bowl. We thumped that ass. I knew going in it was my last college game.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then when you played Michigan in the Citrus, you knew that was your last game that year.
That year.
That's a different thing. Like, you walk into it and you're like, all right, man, this may not be my last. We keep winning. And then, because you're not thinking that. You're not at all thinking, this is it.
Yeah.
Be like, let's win.
Yeah,
let's
there was going. Never a win or go home.
And then that just hits you late in the game. Ooh, tough one there. So Shout out to Louisville and all black.
Well, some of the Murray State players were one of them. They asked one of them after they lost in the first game of the College World Series. They said, "Why? You know, what's with the smile kind of deal?" He said, "Look, man, I know absolutely 100% that I'm done in 2 weeks playing baseball. Now it ended up being in 2 days, but you know, I'm done with baseball in 2 weeks." He said, "I'm gonna have a hard time not enjoying the College World Series. All these kids coming up here wanting our autograph, wanting to see us play." So yeah, it hurt to lose, yep. But I got 2 weeks left to play in the game I love, man.
Hear that, Tyler? Huh. 2 weeks left to play real competitive baseball, and got to finish it out in Omaha. So that is his latest
Omaha.
Man, that'd have been fun in Tampa or something. Nah, Omaha. Into that zoo though, they have something ready for those guys.
Even Reno would be probably like a slight upgrade.
Probably.
Would you guys leave Omaha?
I'm just
alone?
Saying they got to drive over to Council Bluff, Iowa to gamble. That's what they got to do. They do. That's what they
got
to do.
I mean, trust that's me. Okay. We got to drive. We got to drive over to Lake Charles.
Shout out to Uncle Pappy, my uncle. He hits it quick.
There's more than cornfields though in New Orleans and Louisiana.
Yeah. There's a lot more to do. All right. Clint. After OTAs. And now mandatory mini camp was the next thing, obviously, is training camp. And that's when this thing starts. Is the offensive line still to you the overwhelming number one question to this team?
Yeah, absolutely. And overwhelming is correct.
Nothing changed from OTAs, well, no, mandatory minicamp?
No, some things changed. I never go to OTAs or mini camp or training camp and leave with nothing changed. No. Something changed. It just, to begin with, number one, the most impressive thing of mini camp and OTAs for me was the fact that there was a desperate need at the wide receiver position. They drafted two wide receivers in their top three picks in the draft this year. And I think coming out of OTAs, the three OTAs we were able to see, two of which Jalen Noel was really, really good, or the ball just seemed to find him. Let's not get carried away. Wasn't really, really good, but the ball kept finding him. He appeared to have some twitch, appeared to have some great route-running ability. And then in the mandatory minicamp, Higgins, you know, goes out and has a hell of a day the first time out. You know, those two things, like watching that, the wide receiver concerns, along with Christian Kirk, along with Nico Collins, I put that to bed. I'm confident that those guys, sooner rather than later, are going to contribute. The O-line situation changed, but not quite as significantly as the wide receiver. I didn't see any players make plays. They were not put in position to make plays. I didn't see any system work. I didn't see any players make plays. I didn't see anything from the actual players that really turns me on. We didn't get a chance to see anything from Nick Cayley or Cole Popovich, it really turns me on in terms of scheme and play calling. The one thing with the offensive line that did change was it was blatantly obvious as we watched, it wasn't going to be a turnstile at every position, which is what I was worried about.
That way a little early, but yes. quickly you got an understanding of who was. It felt like it was going to be.
Yeah. Look, it seems like Ingram, but what's my man's left guard?
Tomlinson,
Lakin Tomlinson. Is going to be your left guard.
The new LT.
Cam Robinson's going to be your left tackle. Jake Andrews is going to be your center.
That was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, Titus Howard's going to be your right guard, and Blake Fisher's going to be your right tackle. And then from a depth perspective, you got Patterson behind Andrews. You got Juice in all three middle positions, playing left guard, center, and right guard. And you got Ariante Ursary. Yeah. Rotate, played some right, he some left some, tackle, but he's obviously going to be
he's big as hell.
Yeah, he is going to be a backup tackle, right? You got some other guys in the mix, but the only guy that I saw bouncing from position to position, from one side of the ball to the other, was Juice Scruggs, and I'm okay with that. Everybody else seemed to have a position. Even the depth guys seemed to have a position, other than Juice Scruggs, and so that changed, and that gives me some confidence. But, boy, they had a long way to go. That right there can't be the deal sealer for me.
Yeah, I think it's still the answer. I think there's some other questions that maybe have popped up, like, all right, maybe the third corner with that situation maybe has popped up. You know, all right, maybe the tight end situation. There have been some other questions that pop up. But I do think the O-line is still that. But kind of to the point you're making, I didn't know that I would. I thought for me, until I see them cats in pads, until I see them hitting, until I see them kind of have some, you know, some real bullets fired, you know, in preseason, whatever, until we see that. But I do feel better about what I've watched and what I've seen and the way they're going about it. I do feel better that from what we've seen from the outside, there's a real emphasis on that group coming from the head coach, coming from the OC, and coming from the line coach.
Yep.
We've seen that. Now, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but I would imagine if we're seeing that level of importance that they're laying on that, I'd imagine they're doing even more behind closed doors. So to see that, that is an emphasis. And you brought this up that I didn't think about until you said it, was maybe the front line isn't good. We've talked about like the fantasy of what the Bears did where they went out and got arguably the most versatile lineman in football in Joe Tooney. And then they went out and got a center who was the best center on the market, got guard who was a former Pro Bowler. Maybe they didn't go out and get the frontline guys that we were hoping they may be able to get. But you talked about their depth. They should, if there are injuries that occur, they should be in a much better spot of not a big drop-off when they have to go to their bench.
No, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, when you talk about the process that the Texans offensive line, I'm sorry, the progress that the Texans offensive line has made this offseason, right? One, you got guys that seem to be playing specific positions. It's not a turnstile at every position on the O-line. Love it. The depth seems to be, again, position-specific guys, not a right tackle moving to guard and a guard playing outside, yada, yada, yada. You got guys that are – the depth plays that specific position. And then number three, the head coach – seems to be paying more attention to what's going on the offensive line. Cole Popovich seems to be more aggressive and in your face and asking for a certain level of physicality and a different culture and chemistry in that room. So there's been quite a bit changed, but still for me it doesn't change the fact that this offensive line is still the biggest question without a doubt for me.
Yeah, it's what the season is going to depend on.
Yeah.
Right? And we talked about it earlier. If for me, my expectation, can you give them average play?
Love it.
Can you just, and I think they should be capable of doing that. Can you give them average play? Because there are many times last year they just didn't have a chance. And can you just give them average play with the guys you have?
Ron,
and I think that's a huge.
I think when you talk about the Texans offense, Ron, I think if all the new pieces – the offensive coordinator, the offensive line coach, the new offense, let's call it the rebuilt offensive line for the Houston Texans, if they can all be average at what they do, the stars on the offensive side of the football can take this offensive unit to another level. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Joe Mixon, hopefully Chubb is in that mix. That group can take this offense to the next level. If everything around them is average, they can take it to the next level. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah. Coming up, Tyler's in a tough spot right now.
Old King Ding-a-ling in there.
Didn't win a bet yesterday. There was a push there.
Why don't you let me and Ron pick them for some of your money?
Piss off, Clint.
Oh, no, you got to stay in this. You got to stay in this. That was aggressive.
I'd be willing to let you.
Maybe get down to three picks. I don't know. We'll try to.
It's not how you bounce back.
We'll try to win you some money, or maybe fade him at this point. This is an extended streak. This is Christian Walker right now, as we're watching.
Nightmarish, man.
Yeah, it is. We'll win you some money coming up, and the story that won't stop. I can't get enough of this. Rafael Devers spoke today as he was introduced in San Francisco. By the way,
no.
as Clint is more famous for saying, I got to meet you at the 50. Old Barry Bonds was there to greet him as he walked through the doors. How about that combination right there? So walking through San Francisco. But wait till you hear what old Raf Devers had to say at his press conference today. We'll do that next.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's big, man. They love you even if you're in a tough streak right now.
I'm a man of the people.
Right. Man of the people. Tyler Milner.
Through thick and thin.
Some of the people struggled with you today. I'm going to lie to you.
Yeah, they'll get over it.
Text line just coming through, coming in late to the Odyssey app. Shout out to the Odyssey app. I guess Tyler thinks Run DMC is overrated as well.
I see what you're doing there, friend. That's a pretty strong cross-genre comp there,
I love how, though, and time period. I love how you button it up with friend, and then you go in there and just really...
Everybody in the Drive family is my friend.
Unload them. Unload on them.
From the Beatles to old Run DMC, eh?
Yeah, it is. Coming up here in a little bit, Tyler will try his best to get this thing turned around, man. It's bad. Honest to God, it is really mirroring Christian Walker. It really is. Like, you had a little flurry there, like one day on a Friday where you started to kind of...
And it's not Skywalker.
Pick it up where you got like three or four out of five or something like that.
Bets are more like Jar Jar Binks than a Jedi right now.
And then, just like Christian yesterday, got his 1-for-4 with 2 Ks. And
it's been a rough go, man. I really cannot remember if ever that I've had a wagering streak like this. So we'll just call it Tyler's Bets for now.
Well, this is when you let somebody else kind of take the reins for a day to give yourself a rest. Maybe they're hot.
You can get the hell out of here, Clint.
He's not doing that. He's not throwing in the towel yet, Clint.
I'm still a professional.
It's not. Texans LX is coming up behind us, though. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. They will talk to Texans insider John M. Alexander coming up behind us. So stay tuned for that. Him over there at the Chronicle as an insider. Some Joey Chestnut talk coming up on Area 45 tonight?
Yeah, the great Joey Chestnut is going to be on Area 45 at 7:40 p.m. this evening.
Well, check that out, 7:40, the multiple...
Talking about his return.
Hot dog-eating champion, that's a big get right there. You only get that right here in the best late-night sports show in all of Houston. Big Joey Chestnut is returning. So they'll talk to him 7:40, so make sure you're watching that, and then they'll have what's going on with the game, as well as it's a little West Coast baseball, as the A's are going to be hosting in Sacramento the Houston Astros. Hopefully the Astros can get a win back after that walk-off yesterday. So that's coming up 7, right after the guys on Texans All Access get done. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, 7:40, Joey Chestnut, so stay tuned for that. And of course, here in a few minutes, we'll see what the hell Tyler's got in store. Rafael Devers got traded to the San Francisco Giants. We were talking about it at the crosstalk within the loop earlier. And he is going to play tonight, batting third, and is the DH for San Francisco. He had his press conference today. That's it. This is big. They brought Barry Bonds came on out for this. Barry Bonds came out, walked with him, talking with him. Devers said today, right off the bat, I'm here to play whatever position they need me to play.
Learn from his mistakes. This is good. That's good. Everyone should try to learn that from their past mistakes.
That is good.
That's way to real. Be.
That is a solid A-plus jab at Boston.
No. I'm happy. He said, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah.
And I will go play whatever position they need me to play.
That is great. Who's the Giants' third baseman?
Hell, I don't know. I got no idea.
No.
Surely it's him, right?
He's DHing tonight. So we'll have to see. I don't know who played. Let's see who played third base for the Giants over the weekend, their last game. They just played the Dodgers. Third base, they had some gentleman by the name of Casey Schmidt.
Oh, Case, yeah.
You know, Casey Schmidt. Yeah, he looks like he'll go play wherever he wants to play over there. Listen, I bet you the people in San Francisco say he's a great teammate. I bet you they won't find of the stuff that found. I know many people are rolling with this, and the Red Sox are by not just fans, but also by some people in the media, and people have, you know, podcasts, and even they've even got some of their teammates to walk it out there, some of their players to walk it out there.
Yeah.
Boston.
They hinted towards he's a bad, like, you know, it's him. He's the bad teammate. Yeah, he's the bad apple. But they know. They know what they did. They know that they caused a lot of this. And I bet you San Francisco, hey, man, we're going to be straight up with you. This is how it looks. This is how it's going to be. And now my man's saying, hey, man, I'm here to play wherever you want me to play, baby. Whatever position you need me to play, baby.
Well, I thought a powerful statement that was made was Big Poppy. David Ortiz.
They got him to come out there and say, yeah.
David Ortiz came out with a long-winded statement of basically saying, you know, you're not bigger than the game. He should have played anywhere that he wanted, wherever they wanted him to play, kind of deal. And look, I don't disagree with that sentiment, but I don't know. Like, I think a critical part of this, and I'm going backwards here a little bit because it's already happened. It's water under the bridge or water over the dam, however you want to look at it. It's what they did or did not communicate with Rafael Devers as they were flirting and bringing Bregman in is integral here. I mean, really, and I'm a team first guy, be a professional all the time, but like here in this situation, like it's you can't just sit there and let them do you wrong time and time again and you don't push back at all. Like that can't happen.
Yeah. No, then it seemed like it continued to get worse.
Right. Well, if they communicated, were clear and communicated with him from jump, and he's just being an ass, then and saying what he's saying in the media before and now, then hey, that's on him. Then that's a bull job move.
No.
But it sure seems like
he had other teammates too coming out and saying it.
Yeah.
Like it's just crazy as hell. He was your franchise player. And I'm sure, like, for some people in the clubhouse, it got on their nerves. Like, come on, man, just go over there and nah. But man, shoot, told me to leave my glove in Florida. I done left that son. Told me to leave that thing in Florida. I'm good. Yeah, somebody texted in Matt Chapman. He's on the IL right now. He's their third base.
Right.
Matt Chapman used to be with the A's. He was with the Blue Jays, I believe, couple of years. He'll play whatever. I bet he did. This was one of those situations, I believe, where Devers, it probably went that way to some. This wasn't personal towards the guys in the clubhouse. This was personal towards, man, I'm just not going to let people do me and treat me that way. And I'm going to take a stand.
And you hope the guys, if that is the case, you hope the guys in the clubhouse understand that, because at some point, the longer it draws out, it becomes personal with everybody, because now it's my inability to win and my ability to have a team. Everybody bought in. You're an outcast. You're bringing drama in. So eventually the longer you let it go on, the more it becomes everybody's problem. So, maybe that's what happened. Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know the details, but we'll see what Devers can do outside of Boston. I'm sure it'll be great. By the way, I think he was second in fan voting in the, at DH.
Was he just over, just jumping over Yordan. All right, Tyler, let's try to get to the green tonight, huh?
Please. Right,
you got a motorboat. That's fine. What are your best bets after coming off of off of yesterday's? We won't even say what they were.
Yeah.
You see that?
Whoa, we've come a long way.
The night is dark. It's just before the dawn. We're about to turn this thing around. I can feel it.
You said that yesterday.
No, I didn't. A-hole.
I think you did say you felt it. It was going to turn. I believe you said that.
I didn't say the part about the night's darkest right before the dawn.
Right.
That was poetic.
You did not say that. You're right. God. Let me step
in. I'm going to set the vibe here. 0-for-4 last night. We had 5 bets. One of them pushed. Son of a bitch. Tell, fade. I don't know what to tell you, Dry Family, but here are your 5 best bets. First, Reds in the first 5 innings tonight as they host the Twins. I'm on the money line for the Reds at -115. Next, I'm on an under tonight. Orioles at Rays under 9.5 runs in that one for me. Red Sox, that Boston squad we were just discussing.
6 in a row now, baby.
+1.5 for the Boston Red Sox tonight at the Seattle Mariners. And then 2 Astros player props I like here tonight as they square off with the A's in game 2 of 4. Jake Meyers over 1.5 total bases. Those odds are nice at +120. And then the GOAT, Jose Altuve, the Stro GOAT, over 1.5 total bases for him as well at -125. A little tougher odds there, but he is the GOAT. So
right.
Those are your five best bets. You probably should hate all of them.
Red Sox are rolling. Don't hate that one.
Are we sure they're in the lineup? We haven't seen them starting lineup yet.
No, if they're not in the lineup, then it just gets washed.
Yeah, I gotta believe Jake and Jose Altuve gonna be in the lineup.
Strogo better, and Jake, the way he's hitting the ball,
I just never thought I'd see the day that Jake Meyers would be somebody Tyler's gonna put money on.
Khakis
over a base, 1.5 bases.
Old Jake's had that rake.
I think everybody got a hit last night except for Pena and Paredes.
You're reaching here. Not reaching, but you're going.
Damn, out. Man!
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to keep the vibes
you're
up
opening
right now.
Up, I mean, you're opening it up, right? That pain you hurt you yesterday, didn't it? Yeah. One day he didn't get hit.
I bet that heavy.
I bet you did. All right.
We're gonna win tonight. I can feel it in my plums. Let's go.
Texans All Access behind us, and then Area 45. Joey Chestnut coming on 7:40. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And tomorrow, our guy Will Kunkle. He will join us, hang out with us in the 2 o'clock hour, so you don't want to miss that as we have a lot of fun with him. Clint, great job as always.
Thanks,
Tyler,
Bob.
Great job. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. God, I'm hungry.
No, I'm talking about, you want to get him off that sidewall? Play pony. It is over.
Ah, man.
Over.
Stop it, Tyler. What are you doing?
I looked up.
Told you.
I thought he was seizing on the wall. I thought he was having a seizure.
Told you I'll back that thing up now. It does it to me, too.
I mean, your face was a man on a mission and to gyrate. That guy.